All right, thanks again for listening in to Mental Health Monday, where we aim to provide an open space for dialogues about a number of mental health topics and how folks are being affected on a local, state, and national level. Guests and topics on the show range from psychiatrists, psychologists, school drug and grief counselors, and any other professionals in the field. Testimonials from those affected by mental health issues, such as students, veterans, first responders, and more. And we also hear from folks who are organizing events around the community that promote or bring awareness to mental health issues, with the main goal being normalizing these consistent mental health dialogues. I'm your host, Vince Tropea, and our guest today is Cheryl Wise. She's a psychologist from the Lander Medical Clinic, and we're going to talk about some of the common therapy myths and misconceptions that people have. And we'll hopefully dispel some of those misunderstandings to let people really know what therapy can do for those of us who are struggling. But before we dive into those topics today, Cheryl, how are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing great today, Vince. Thanks so much for doing this, and thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And we really do appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule to stop by and chat with us today. And before we do dive into some of those myths, could you just kind of give us a little background information on who you are and your role at the Lander Medical Clinic?
Sure. Again, my name is Cheryl Wise, technically Dr. Cheryl Wise. I have a PhD in counseling psychology, and I am the only psychologist working at Lander Medical Clinic. I am probably better known as the wife of Randy Wise, who runs the Pioneer Museum and has been on Coffee Time many times. So at the medical clinic, as the psychologist there, I provide a lot of counseling or therapy. I also do some psychological evaluations, but they can be really time consuming. And as I'm sure you know, our resources for counseling hours here in Fremont County are fairly limited.
Did say you're the only one over there too.
Yeah, so the medical clinic sure kind of rolled the dice on me a couple of years ago. The field in general, and certainly more so in a lot of bigger places, is about trying to integrate mental health with medical health.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been fantastic to be able to work out of a medical practice, to be able to really understand where people are coming from. And a lot of people confide in their primary providers first. That's the first line of trying to let them know that, oh, things have been difficult or this has happened. And so me being part of the clinic and part of the practice makes it much easier to help people be like, well, why don't you go talk with Cheryl? Try it out once, no specific commitment, and see if there's something that you guys can work on.
Well, I've been hearing that more and more on the show, just from talking to all the professionals in the field, that it is a combination of the two, the therapy aspect and the medical aspect of it. And like we've chatted about a number of times, you don't realize how much of your health concerns stem from stress caused by mental health issues.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, people have talked for a long time about how in the medical appointments that sometimes, they're limited into how much time they have to kind of really flesh things out. And, the typical therapy hour, 50 minutes. It's really nice to have the time to just let people talk through things in detail and talk through what they've already tried, what they already know. So I have a nice luxury of really being able to help people hear themselves out for an extended period of time.
Well, and kind of segging into our topic of myths and misconceptions, I'm sure that is a big one. That some people, just give me the pill or just let me talk it out. And then they find out that it's either one or the other or a combination of the two, but it's not what they went in there thinking.
Sure, absolutely. If you've never been to therapy before, we've all seen it. Who was it? Jane Lynch on, what was the show?
Saturday Night Live.
Or no.
One of her actual shows.
With Charlie Sheen and...
Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men, She played the, therapist on Two and a Half Men.
Okay.
Or going back old school, Sydney on MASH.
Uh-huh.
The people's impressions of what therapy is and what it's going to be like, a lot of times built by, what they've seen on TV or on the movies.
We are just so informed as a society about the pop culture. seriously, I mean, I had those thoughts for a number of years. The cliche leather couch that you sit on. Tell me more.
Right, exactly. Or that, I'm going to sit with my judgmental frowny face with a pen and paper. I do use pen and paper in the first session, but it's because my brain doesn't work so good anymore. But
those misconceptions are a lot, like I said, informed by pop culture, or just preconceived notions. And one of the big ones is that the people who need therapy in general are, you have to be a crazy person. You have to be a loose cannon or something.
But, right. Absolutely. That, you know, that it's like sort of a pejorative. You're crazy if you go talk to a therapist. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that one is starting to fade away.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, being housed with, like, nobody says, oh, you have to go get your broken arm set, you must be crazy. You
know? Right.
Like, right. Oh, yeah, I guess you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, so absolutely that coming in to talk to a therapist does not make you crazy. Hopefully most of us are not crazy either. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty normal person, slightly edgy sense of humor, you know, but really just like to be able to connect with people and understand who they are, where they're coming from, and how I can help. And sometimes it's help over just one or two sessions, get through a rough patch or a job loss or, losing a family member or something. And sometimes it's coming to understand that there are things that have happened, that it might be a longer relationship that we have professionally to really work through some things.
But it doesn't have to be that that extreme of needing therapy, and a lot of people too maybe put it off until it's like a yard, you put it off too long and then it's a mess,
then
and
it's hard. Yeah.
Then it's really hard. But if you have some kind of preventative measures there and work on it a little bit over time, not unlike therapy, reaching out initially, you could probably find out that. Just having those conversations is a huge step forward.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's part of helping people understand. I mean, the best rule of thumb throughout my whole career has been, is this getting in the way? So is your job suffering? Are your relationships suffering? Are you feeling like you're just not doing the things that you want to do over, more than a week or two? Mm-hmm. We all have downsides. February weather hits us all pretty bad here. But if it's something that has come up, or if there's stuff that you haven't really been able to talk through with someone, that's a pretty good sign that if you want to come in and we can talk through what's going on and figure out what might be most helpful for you. That's usually how I help people understand it. So
I think that's a great way of describing it too. And just that idea that it does have to be a big event or a big thing in your life. It can be small things. It doesn't have to be complete serious issues therapy, because that's another one of the misconceptions, right?
Right, absolutely. And again, I think, I know at least for me too, it's like when you aren't feeling well physically and you're like, okay, is this a thing or is this just something I'm going to feel better about in a couple of days? Mm-hmm. And I think once the hurdle of recognizing, this is something I just need to go and talk about. Like sometimes that can make people feel that it is worse than they thought, or that they are never going to get over it, or it's going to be too hard if they fall apart or something. And, all I can say is that most people who go through the experience and realize this is being able to talk about what's going on and what kind of symptoms you're having usually helps a lot of people feel a little better and feel like they have a plan, whether that includes therapy or medication or some other things that people are doing on their own, that, they usually feel better.
Do you find that there are a lot of people who have almost normalized a lot of their issues? They've learned to live with it to the point where it's normal and then may not even recognize the need?
Well, again, I'm from the East Coast, as a lot of people know, but the phrase cowboy up can get a little complicated here in my field.
Pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality.
Yeah, this was good enough for all of our family for Jen. I'm and there is something that's really normal about that, too, like to have this sense of confidence, like I will be able to get through it. Yes, I absolutely agree. People are able to get through things. But if it's standing in your way of getting the kind of help that you need, it's kind of time to let go of that if you can, and just recognize that ultimately we're all human on the same planet together, and we all go through difficult times in life, and we all have our different ways of dealing with things. There really is an argument. There are some people that talking about what's going on is not their primary way of coping. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that are much more get out and do more physical things. And
right.
But it's if those things aren't working like they usually do.
They need addressed.
Right. Then you got to commit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or find another solution. Yeah.
And then with that, too, a lot of people do want the quick fix. They want something to, they want to go in, have one big therapeutic session, and then it's all over and done with. Or they think that therapy takes forever. They think that it's this big, long, never-ending thing. What's the misconception there? Is it more kind of in the middle?
Sure. And I think part of that is psychology's fault and you know, some of the portrayals in the media. But they're really, in the past, there were schools of therapy, sort of more Freudian kind of therapy, where mm-hmm. you are lying on the couch and someone's sitting behind you with a pen and paper, not even making eye contact. And they would do this 5 days a week with the same person. And I'm like, no, that is an insane use of people's time and money. You know, and there was the idea of allowing people to hear their own thoughts is great. Mm-hmm. But, our strategies now, and certainly my philosophy, has to meet the practicality of things, that people are busy. A lot of the people that we see in the medical clinic, you know, I sort of shifted my schedule so I'd have a little evening hours and some weekend hours because, you know, people have to earn a living and run their kids all over the place and
right.
Do the other things that they need to do. So
that's another just sad point to bring up, too, that mental health isn't considered a sick day cause for a lot of people, for a lot of folks, for their employers. A day to go to the hospital, you'd think that it'd be okay to take some time off or a day off to be able to go to your therapist. And
yeah, and that can be a mixture. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. sure there's some people out there that you know, build that in, and some people feel like, well, I don't want people talking about my business
right,
and all
right.
that. So yeah, but there's still stigma around it overall. Again, I think the more that I talk with people, the more that people get to know me and some of the other clinicians in the community, it's like, oh, okay, they're just people that I see at Safeway every week as well. You
right.
know, and just being able to talk about what's going on emotionally is just as valuable as all the physical things that we go through.
Do you find, I mean, I know you can't obviously talk about it in specifics, but mm-hmm. that there's aha moments almost for some people that come in. They're like, oh wait, this is, I do, like what's that moment for, like, for a lot of people where they kind of realize that I made the right decision in coming here, and this is what I need to be doing.
I think over the time I've been doing this, for me, it's mostly been, you know, early on when people might come in once or twice and then not come back. You know, as a younger therapist, I was like, oh, did I do something wrong? Is this my fault? And then you know, people come back a year later, 2 years later, and they're like, oh no, talking with you was great. It was just, you know, I couldn't schedule it or I couldn't afford it or something like that. Certainly when people slow down and recognize, wow, I never really talked about this before, that's a pretty good indication to me that they're, you know, feeling more comfortable and feeling ready to really get into some of the things that are important to them to talk about. A lot of times, you know, especially people that aren't sure what's going on and aren't sure whether or not they're crazy, I will literally tell people, I am not giving you the crazy stamp today. Like, this is
right.
what you're going through.
Right.
This is, yep, people go through this and it can be really difficult, but you're doing okay. I mean, certainly grief is a good example of that. Like, grief is such a disorienting and terrible experience for mm-hmm. people. And I can't change that. You know, there's nothing psychologically wrong with having, you know, a horrifying month and maybe a very difficult year after losing someone close to them,
mm-hmm.
you know. So just saying, yep, this is okay. You are okay. You're doing what you need to do. And I'm sorry it's so difficult, but
but just having someone there to kind of, one, tell you there's no magical answer and that there's mm-hmm. no, but to be able to guide you through the unavoidable things.
Right. And that, nope, you're not losing your mind. Your mind will be back. It's going to feel fuzzy for a while, but you're doing exactly what you need to do as a human because, you know, you loved this person and you're going to get through to the other side and mm-hmm. happy to walk it with you. you know.
Well, and then just all of the things that people may not even realize that they're doing that are kind of like therapy, venting. You know, I hear that term all the time. It's like, well, I really needed to vent to someone. Well, that's kind of what therapy is to some degree.
Yeah. The bonus for people in talking to someone like me or talking to a counselor is I don't have a predetermined answer for you. I'm certainly rooting for the healthier choice, you know, but if you want to sell all your possessions and join the circus, I'm not going to say no in the same way your best friend might mom might, you know. So that can make it nice to come in and vent and really understand, are you venting in a way that's helpful? You know, are you venting in a way that helps you move forward? Are there things that you need to kind of set aside and let fade away? You know, has your venting taken over?
And I think that's something we've all done at some point in our lives, too, where we vent to seek validation, too. And I hope to, I mean, that's my, I'm assuming here, you don't go to therapy for validation. You're going there to improve and move forward.
Yeah, you know, a little of both. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm also, you know, it's an interesting part of the role, but it's also my job in the first session, especially, to help people know, like, I mean it when I say that the relationship between us is important and how you perceive me and how much I can help you understand that I really do accept you for exactly who you are and am also here to try and help you figure out what would be the next step to help you feel better, help you get more out of the life that you want.
And that's why it is good to have a therapist, because you're eliminating, like you said, that connection and then that potential for as a society, I've noticed we want to be polite all the time for them. Like, there's a politeness, and sometimes we don't want to say the things that should be said to the folks that, you know, out of that courtesy, you know, like we know they're going through something. So like, hey, you'll get through it. But they may not be able to guide them through those emotions like a therapist can.
Well, sure. And I think that's relevant. You know, I didn't grow up in a small town. I grew up outside of Philly. So being here now and here for 8 years, it's helped me really understand that people are extra polite here. I certainly cannot drive in the same way that I drove when I was in Philly.
People don't use their horns here. I'm from Ohio. And I'm like, you know what, hurry it up a little. And I'm like, oh,
keep your hands below the windshield. Yell if you want. But I mean, there's a certain amount of politeness that's required because everybody knows everybody, you know. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, I think it also makes people feel a little less at ease being able to vent or talk about what's going on or
open up.
You know, right, exactly. Because you have to know and you have to make sure that this isn't going to feel like it's being used against you later.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's such an interesting concept that you just brought up too, just about small town mental health versus the anonymity of big city mental health.
Yes. And this is funny to me. I worked for about 18 years in Pennsylvania as a therapist in different places. Once I ran into a client outside of my office in 18 years.
Wow.
Once. Yep. Here, you know, and people who know me will see me and I will not say anything because I preserve confidentiality, it's every day. You know, I'm part of the community too. And so it's been a whole shift for me. I feel like I'm probably more protective than people would expect about maintaining people's confidentiality. And it's, you know, it's nice that I'm at a point in my life where, you know, I'm raising teenager and tweenager now. I have my friends, I have a busy life, so that it's okay. Like, I will hold people's secrets, you know, without issue, you know.
And would you say that is another, not misconception, but maybe hesitation that some folks might have?
I mean,
even though you are the third party, that's opening up about a lot of deep things like that's pretty tough for folks.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's important, whoever you might talk with, to understand how the confidentiality works and what it means and how it gets protected, because I do think it's very important. You know, and I'll say to people when I meet them the first time, you know, if I'm going to be seeing them again in therapy, I'll say, look, if I see you out in the community, I'm not going to acknowledge you. You can acknowledge me and say hi, but I'm not going to. So you can pretend that I don't exist. That's no problem with me. you know, and similar, you know, again, a lot of people know my husband or my kids in the community. I'm like, I do not talk about people to my family members. They know it. They don't ask questions, you know, so.
Well, that's mega important just for any of our listeners or people who might be thinking about getting therapy, that in a small town like this, like you said, if you're the one who initiates that conversation, says hello, I'm like, oh, did you see blah, blah, blah? They're talking to Dr. Wise over there, and that could start the little small town room. But I think, like what you're saying, we're on the cusp of moving forward with that type of stigma, mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Making strides, at least.
Absolutely. I think it's people understand it a lot more now. They have certainly heard about people having good experiences going to therapists. Again, I think the biggest, one of the barriers here, again, is that there's just not a ton of us. So unfortunately, not everybody is able to get in on a regular basis, or, you know, it can take a little time to really get a spot working with one of the counselors, which, you know, it is what it is. It's the same with a lot of other specialties around here.
Right. And I have talked to a couple other folks on the show too, just about a national and statewide shortage, mm-hmm. of mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we can do to help with that? I mean, other than taking up the cause and going to the years of schooling, or is there anything that the listeners can do?
You know, probably the one thing that we want to try and make sure that people are aware that, like, when they get scheduled a couple of weeks in advance or something, that's absolutely a time reserved for them, so that if they know, like, a week ahead that they can't use that time, then, yeah, we've got some people that we can get a hold of and fill in. So, you know, just respecting that. I'm not going to, like, some places will double book people, mm-hmm. just to see who might show up. I'm like, no, I can't, that's too stressful. I can't do that.
Yeah, I can see that being a logistical nightmare sometimes.
It would be stressful, yeah. So, you know, just to know that absolutely we're here for you and this is your time. So if you can also recognize, like, yeah, this is an important chunk of time, and unless there's an emergency, if you can make sure you come in, that's one of the pieces. I know there's a lot. I mean, there are also other resources that are out there. You know, some more of the internet therapy providers are popping up. Their models are a little bit different than, you know, sort of the style that I would prefer to work in. Like, mm-hmm. I do have a little bit of that old school, like, this is your time and your space. I try and keep my office pretty much the same, you know, from week to week, because then that's where we do the work. We really focus on it, and then we help you get back out into the world.
It's the mental boxing gym. That's what I like.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the whole, like, oh, you can send a text back and forth for 5 minutes here and there, like the internet model therapy, probably wouldn't be my favorite way of doing
stuff.
There's
some detachment still that's there that, right, may be needed to move forward. Well, but
there's a difference between Dear Abby and therapy. And I love Dear Abby. I would love to be a little advice columnist, but that's advice. As opposed to therapy is about, if you walk out of my office thinking that you have figured out the next piece that you want to go home and do, then I have done my job. That my job isn't to tell you what to do, but help you. I just read a great way of phrasing it. My job is to help you understand the pool that you're swimming in. And I was like, wow, that is really cool. That's exactly what I try.
Yeah, you're
to
in
do.
The pool.
Right.
You're
in your the pool.
You're already there. You're
and
you're
I
there.
Can I have a vision of the pool just from, you know, 25 years of doing
you
this.
You have the tools to be able to describe, mm-hmm. how to navigate that pool.
Right. And then your job as the client is to say, oh, okay, well, maybe I should try this. And I'll be like, right on, let me know how it goes.
Start off with some water wings. And yeah, dip that toe in. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
So. That's great. We are going to go and have to wrap things up here. We're running a little bit short on time, but I did just want to ask, was there anything else misconception-wise that you think might be preventing people from seeking out therapy, or was there anything that you think our listeners might want to know about?
Probably the only one I put on my list is that people who don't want to go to therapy because therapy is going to make them cry. And that can be either because they hate to cry, and I am totally in that camp. It just, mm-hmm. makes my face all puffy. And then there's people that worry that if they start crying, they'll never stop.
Right.
You know, I will say that has never happened, that people cry in my office. I don't get a bonus when they cry. Mm-hmm. I do keep tissues, but it's just part of being human. So that sometimes people, you know, will cry, but going into therapy, you will stop crying too. You will get through it.
And you'll be able to hopefully then glean some tools about how to recognize why you're having those emotions and why you're
Sure, or even just accepting that we have emotions and mm-hmm. we get overwhelmed, you know, and that it's okay. It's
accept
not,
it. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Experience it, move through it.
Learn how to navigate it. Well, I just really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, Dr. Wise. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about with the Lander Medical Clinic? Anything you wanted to promote that you guys are doing over there before we let you go?
Again, so we have, I think you had John Bates, who is our psychiatrist, who's been in town for a couple of months now. It is always, so he and I work in the satellite building, like right near the dentist and across from Fremont Therapy. So my office looks over the river and then beyond is the jail. So he and I work in the same office. Having a psychiatric medication provider right in the building is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because that way, you know, people can just see whether or not that's an option that might help them and be able to, and again, it's hard to have the medication resources in town as well, but that's fantastic that the clinic is really trying to look at and take care of behavioral health as best as they can. Clinic is always looking for good people in terms of, you know, not just providers, but also, you know, front desk staff and MAs. And it's a really good group of people.
Seriously, though, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting with us.
Oh, thank you
today.
For doing this.
I think I learned a lot about therapy, and I hope that our listeners learned a lot today, too.
Cool. Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to wrap things up for the Mental Health Monday segment today. When we come back, more coffee time in the Today in the 10 portion of the hour with your Fremont County news from Jared Anderson, your County 10 sports update from Wyatt Britschke, National Native News, and your daily agriculture day today report.